Good evening. Good evening. It is your girl, Dr. Shepherd, coming to you with another note from the principal's desk. I am excited about tonight's topic. I'm excited. I don't know how excited your young ones, your children will be, but I am excited about tonight's topic just because I'm just going to provide some strategies, some resources to use this summer. Tonight's topic is entitled Engaging Your Child or Children in Summer Academics, okay? Engaging your children or your child in summer academics. We always talk about summer camps. We always talk about, you know, the different sports and swim and dance and all those good things. But tonight, I want to talk to you about some of the things that they can do academically in order to be successful, okay? So one thing that we know, summer is here for some of us, and it's very close for others. And anyone in education knows we are ready for this break, okay? So just as much, if not more, than the children, we are ready. Do you hear me? But parents, even though it's time to relax, please, please, please note, studies show that there is a significant learning loss during the summer months for kids that are not engaged in any form of studies, okay? So that's why, that's studies, that's research shows that if a child is not engaged in any type of academics over the summer, there is learning loss. And that is something that I want to prevent. We already know we've been in a huge deficit here in the United States of America since COVID. Been trying to play catch up, especially when it comes to math. In every single state, math is struggling, right? And so summertime is definitely a time for kids to have some type of learning that they're doing, okay? And so tonight, I'm just gonna give you a few of the ways you can engage your kids in academics this summer, especially for those that are like very reluctant. You have a, you know, those kids who are like, I don't like reading. That's not my thing, right? But I want to give some strategies, and some ways that you can even get your most, you know, your most reluctant children, to read. Okay. One thing I want to encourage, and let me tell y'all this, and I've said it before, there is nothing that I say on this podcast or platform that I do not implement and do myself. Okay, I am not one of those people who sit behind a screen and push out all the stuff that other people need to do, and I myself am not a partaker of the word. I do it myself, I try it myself. That's how I also can speak from it, not only from an administrator within the school system, but also as a parent, okay? My number one thing that I always stress to parents is set a schedule, okay? No, they might not have to get up at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m., but there should be a set schedule in place, okay, so that your children or your child stays in a routine. One thing I'm going to tell you, and people can say what they want, children love routine. Children love structure. When you start seeing children act out, stressed out, anxiety, it's because they it's like this. They don't have a clue what's going on from one minute to the next. That's stressful. That's stressful for us as adults, right? And so it's very important to make sure you keep a set schedule. Again, no, they don't have to wake up at 6 o'clock, 6:30, but a 9 a.m. start time if it's possible for that to happen in your home. I know different work schedules, you know, babysitters, summer camps, different things like that can play a part. And so I definitely don't want to be dismissive to that. But whatever structure or whatever you have going on, please make sure that there is as much consistency as possible for your child, for your children. So something you can do is have them to wake up at 9 a.m., right? and, you know, get themselves fully dressed, you know, wash your face, brush your teeth, you know, shower, whatever, put your clothes on. We already know that kids nowadays wear pajamas to school, like that is their uniform. But they can get dressed, right? They can have breakfast. And then from 10 to 12 or 10 to 1 is studies, right? 30 minutes to 45 minutes of reading. 30 to 45 minutes of different math problems, right? Science, looking at some science, having them to do a research project with social studies. I've told you guys before, they are slowly fading social studies out of our schools, okay? Especially if you're at a Title I school. And so knowing that they are fading that out, it's now, I think, more important than ever to make sure that you are implementing and teaching at home. And again, I get different work schedules, okay? I get it. My mother is a retired nurse. My mother had all sorts of hours, right? But academics still came first, no matter what, okay? So make sure that, you know, you can Google anything. Now, they have so many different things out there. You could go to the Dollar Tree and buy a research book and have them to do a project. If you're looking at STEM, because we've been into STEM and STEAM, you know, where you're looking at science, technology, you know, the economics. Hey, we're getting ready to focus on building, we're going to build something or create something, you know, a little mini science fair project, if so you will. But for you, okay? You can set a timer, right? I think timers are a good way to keep you focused on a specific task, not only for kids, but for adults. And so sometimes when I find myself like with people ask me all the time, like, how in the world do you do it, Dr. Shepherd? How are you a single mom, an administrator, a founder, a CEO? You have the podcast, you're an author, and you make time to still be able to do all these other things. I travel all the time, and it is because I hold myself accountable to a set schedule. And I make sure that my children are also held accountable to a set schedule. And there are timers in place, so I may give myself, you know, 30 minutes to just schedule out my calendar for the next 3 months, right? 30 minutes. When that timer goes off, guess what? Now I'll put that down and I'm on to the next task, okay? And so you could set a timer as a way to encourage your kids to, hey, just stay focused on this right now. And once the timer goes off, you can put this away and you can move on to the next, okay? But let me tell you, 2 to 3 hours reading, studying, working on math problems, looking at science vocabulary, that goes a long way. I'm telling you, a simple 2 hours a day goes a very long way. And hey, you get it up, the earlier they get up, the quicker they can knock it out and get on with the things that they want to do, okay? So when it comes to books, right, please let your children choose the books that they want. Let them choose books that really interest them. You will have a lot of kids who are going to run to the comic books. You are going to have a lot of kids who are going to run to graphic novels. You're also going to have those who run to like nonfiction or the fiction. You will have some who are like with the drama or like mystery and stuff. But whatever it is, like, it's okay as long as they are reading, right? That is the goal. The goal is to get them reading. And if you can start them with something that they actually like enjoy, then guess what? Over time, you'll find them picking up other books. You'll find them, if you're an avid reader yourself, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute, you're going to find them wanting like, hey, mom, what you reading? Hey, dad, what you reading? Auntie, you know? And so make sure you let them choose books that are interesting to them. And guys, our libraries are our most underutilized facilities in the world. And I remember when there wasn't all this technology, right? And we had the encyclopedias, we had where you had to go to the library to check out books. Please utilize your local libraries if you're able to, right? Go in as a family and get a library card and, you know, set a time, you know, once a week or once every other week where you guys are, this is our designated time to go to the library and we're going to look at books and we're going to switch out books and stuff. And so that's also teaching responsibility as well, okay? Because you got to keep up with your library card. But that is like, I'm telling you, that is a... That is a place that we do not utilize as much as we need to. A lot of people love to have meetings and stuff there, but when you do, how many times do you see children and families and they're actually reading? It's not as much as it used to be. And so please make sure that's a resource that you use. All right. Another thing when it comes to that, when I'm talking about let them choose. So yes, I say have a set schedule where they can do like 30 to 45 minutes reading, 30 to 45 minutes math, 30 to 45 minutes science, right? Social studies. But let them choose which subject they want to tackle first. Okay. That is, hey, you have a baby who is really strong at math and they want to go ahead and knock out their math problems. Hey, so be it. It doesn't have to be that structured out, right? I set time for my kids over the summer, but it's, hey, it's whatever you want to do first. But let me tell you what needs to happen. By this time, X, Y, and Z needs to be done, okay? Make reading engaging and fun, okay? Make it engaging and fun. Make science engaging and fun. Like I told you, with the different projects that you can have them doing. With social studies, a nice research project on a person in your area. Not so much always having to be a famous person, but just someone, you know, who is well-known, an inventor or something like that, that, you know, we don't hear much about. Not your Martin Luther Kings, not your Malcolm X's. Like, there are just so many more who have contributed to our history, even up until now. And so I encourage you to, like, just make it as fun and engaging as possible with them. You know, you guys can take turns reading to each other. You know, hey, babe, you read this passage, I'm gonna read that passage, right? Have them to read aloud to you. That way you can hear their reading. You can hear and help them with words if they're struggling, right? But just make it fun. You can do some acting. You know, we you know, I'm a theater kid here. And my daughter, my goodness, she definitely drama. But make it exciting and fun even with that. Even when you read into your little ones who aren't quite able to read yet, make it exciting. Change your voice up. You know, you really want them to be empowered and want to read and not be scared of it. All right. If you're able to, and I talked about this in a few podcasts ago, but if you're able to set up a little area in your home where it can kind of be like a little reading corner, right? If you can get a bookcase, if you can get some bean bags, if you can get like the little cool lighting where they can read, because I don't do dark rooms. Then you will hear be wearing glasses and stuff like, you know, then can't see, and that's extra money. But enough where it's, you know, a little cozy, you know, book, like one of those bookstore feels. Maybe, you know, maybe have some little hot chocolate or something while you drink your coffee over there. They're drinking a little hot chocolate or something. And you guys are just sitting over there in quiet reading time. Again, set a timer. 30 minutes is our quiet reading time in our little environment, if that is something that you're able to do. Okay? If you are traveling, there are a lot of people who travel during the summer months, which is also very educational. You can make traveling educational. I remember when I was growing up, my dad, everywhere we went, it was you need to know the state, the capital. You need to know the different cities in there, what's surrounding, you know, a little bit of history about it. And so you can make it really fun even with traveling for your kids. But get audiobooks. I know that they we all know about Audible, but there's also Epic, which I'm going to talk to you about some more resources in a few minutes. But get the audiobooks and have the books to read out, you know, as you guys are driving. That is another way to make sure that they're reading, okay? So when I said earlier about let them choose books that like are interesting to them, and y'all also know I did a podcast a couple of weeks ago about like the graphic novels and anime and stuff like that. I highly encourage you that any book your child picks up to read, that you are privy to what is in that book first. Skim through it yourselves, do some reviews on it yourselves, just to make sure that, you know, it's aligned with what it is that you are teaching your kids, and making sure it's nothing that you want them reading ahead of time. But also, I encourage you to do like a little trade-off. So in school, most assessments are based on nonfiction, right? It's those ones that don't nobody want to read about. And so kids struggle because that's where that stamina piece comes in. Kids start off strong on reading EOGs or reading assessments, and then after a while they start tapering them off because they're bored or it's too long. That's why I strongly, highly encourage you, even if they start off with the graphic novels and the comic books, work to build up to chapter books so that you can help build stamina. That'll help them in the long run when they're in school with these assessments. But with the trade-off, all right, you're going to read, Gio, you're going to read a book that you want to read this week, right? Or for the next 2 weeks. But after that, we're getting ready to tackle into one of these little nonfiction books, right? Hey, that's the trade-off. You can do that. Something else. Now, remember I said allowing space for 30 to 45 minutes in each subject, right? You can also, hey, you can read the books that you want to read, but know that during your 30 to 45 minute study time, we're going to be looking at different passages, and they're going to be nonfiction passages, okay? Again, you are reinforcing what they're going to get when they're in school, and you're also helping to build their stamina. And you know, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of negotiation. All right. Another tidbit is to set some goals. Set the reading goals. You remember back in the day with the whole little pizza, Pizza Hut and Domino's like programs that they had where if you read a certain number of books, then you were able to get like all these stars or whatever, you turn it in and you have, you know, get you a little free pizza. Make it something like that where, hey, you read X amount of books by this time, then I'm going to get you your favorite toy, or I'll buy you the new video game that you want, or we can go out and have your favorite meal or something. But like, make it fun, make it engaging. We forget that even as adults, like, we all want to be like recognized. We all want to be, you know, like, hey, you know, a little bit of motivation to get things done. And so it's nothing wrong with attaching something there for it. There's nothing wrong with attaching something tangible there for them at the end, right? Because your goal is to get them to read. Your goal is to get them to study. Your goal is to ensure that they are not, there's no learning loss over the summer, right? And so however fun you can make it, whatever you can throw in there for them, please do so. You know your children. It's a good way to get them motivated. When your child finishes reading, right? Or when your child, I'm gonna start with math problems first. When your child finishes their math, number one, make sure they've shown you all their work. Now, I am not a parent who understands all this new math. And although I have different curriculums and different things that can help me out, I am a parent that uses her resources, right? If I know a math teacher, which I do, a few of them, hey, about with adding some features, I don't know. But anywho, so if you can, show me your math work. That way you know that they are getting, like, solving the problems. Here is something else we find when it comes to end of grade assessments, right? And this is as early as second grade and up, right? They're not showing their work. And so if you can get them to show their work, right, that can help you see where they missed a step. Again, there are too many programs out here nowadays that you can use where you can plug in the problem yourself and it can help break it down. Khan Academy is one of them, okay? You can doggone it, Google, you know? Just put that problem in and it'll break it down for you, and then you can look and say, okay, baby, we got the same answer. Now, as long as you get the same answer, that might be, you know, Google or them may gave you a different way to solve it. And if you can't stand by it, you don't push it. Okay, great job, baby. You got the right answer. Explain to me how you're thinking behind it, okay? You want to get them in the habit of showing their work and explaining their thinking. This is also a very good life skill to have, right? Especially when you're looking into leadership. You have to explain your why behind the decisions that you are making. You want to know your why and understand your why, right? When it comes to reading, the big and important thing with reading is ask them questions about what they read. Don't just high five, you read the book. No. What do you think the author was trying to convey there? What was your most favorite or interesting part in the story? Tell me why. Why did that interest you? Who were the characters that you felt like you connected with the most, right? What is the main idea, right? These are things and questions that they're going to see on the ELG. Talk about some similarities and differences within the novel. Again, stuff you can Google, okay? And it can help you out. It goes a long way. I'm telling you, the struggles that parents had back in the day, they do not have today. Now, of course, there's trade-offs with the whole technology thing, but it can help you so much more with homework. You have to utilize it, okay? Same thing with science, right? Science is vocabulary, but they did change the test. I know for a fact here in North Carolina this year, where it's not so much vocabulary based. They kind of had to, know some things, right? And don't forget, science and math are closely related. The same for reading and social studies, okay? So make sure you're asking what they read. And then my last thing for you guys, I just want to give you some available apps that you can use, or different websites that you can visit over the summer. So if you don't have anything to write down, please make sure you do. You can also, after this, go on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart Radio, or Amazon Music, and you can also re-listen to the podcast and take notes on anything that you may have missed. But Get Epic is a very good reading program, because it sets it for your child's reading level. You can even just choose the grade, right? And they have the different books, and then they have the questions that go with it at the end. Love Get Epic. So many different books, different genres out there. It's a really cool program. Libby is another one. Storylineonline.net. That one is the one that has like celebrities reading to your kids. So it's pretty cool if you can find a celebrity that your kid like really loves. That'd be pretty cool too. And it also piques their interest in reading. PBSKids.org. Let's see. Kids.NationalGeographic. Do not forget about National Geographic, y'all. And even if you are able to subscribe and get some of their materials sent to your home, I highly encourage you to do so. I mentioned Khan Academy before. MysteryScience.com, again, another science program. Code.org, okay, for your kids who love science or maybe not so much. Think about the way of the world and the way that we are moving. Being able to code, it's a very big deal, right? And you don't know what doors it can open for your child to be able to code and like create their own like programs and stuff, their own little robots and stuff that they get to work with. And so it's a really cool program to look into. And those are just a few. There are so many out there, so I encourage you to do your research. But these are enough to get you started. And when when you're like, man, I don't even know. Get a book. Go to that library and get a book. Go to Big Lots. I think they're closing in a lot of areas. Go to Dollar General, Dollar Tree, those different stores that have those book areas, those book sections, and get some books that your kids can do activities and stuff with. That's one thing I love about my mom. A lot of the gifts that she gives are books. They are activities where they're actually, working. And they go from all age ranges. And so I encourage you not to sleep on those materials that are out there. If you have a great relationship with your child's teacher, hey, can you send me some resources, some packet work, so to speak? Now, with that, please don't use this as a punishment for your child. Educators have it hard enough for kids who are not fans of school. And so you don't want this to be like a punishment, and then they show up the next year and they're not invested. Why? Because all summer they were made to work, and it was treated like punishment as opposed to what it should be and could be, which is something joyous, which is an opportunity for exposure to more, right? please don't do that, okay? Whatever you do, make this as fun and exciting as possible. You invest yourself as much as you can. Again, I know that, you know, life is life, and for everyone, I know that everyone is working different hours, and some are doing 2 and 3 and 4 jobs. I get it, right? Everyone doesn't have a luxury of having a summer off or having, you know, different vacation times, but whatever you can do, it counts. It matters, okay? If all you can do is right before you go to bed, a strong 20 minutes, at least that baby sees you going to sleep holding a book. At least if all you have is 10 minutes to try to work out a math problem, at least your baby sees you're trying, right? Those are small ways that you invest in. Utilize your family. If they're going to stay with family over the summer, hey, these are the rules. When my child goes to stay with his grandparents, and I love it because they ask, like, hey, what work are we working on? What work does he have to do? Because they understand the assignment in terms of, no, it's not going to stop. I don't care where you are. Yes, you have fun, but you going to put your nose in a book. You are going to work out some problems. Writing. That's one last thing, and then I'm getting out of here, guys. Writing, oh my goodness, it's becoming a lost art, a lost skill. I talked about this before. Baby's not even being able to write in cursive. You got high school students who can't even sign their name in cursive. You got students who you say, write your name, sign your name, and they up here writing in print. That's a problem. Okay, do not let this digital world fool you to the point that we begin to lose some of those skills that helped us. Right? Because just as much as we have this digital world, it crashes, right? What skills do they have? If all they have is to rely on the technology, come on now. Don't let them write. Write a short summary about what you read, right? Write a letter to your future self. You know, just little creative things that they can do with writing. Let it be creative writing. Me and my son, we have a journal that we write back and forth to each other when we're too upset to talk. And so we don't say anything crazy. Mainly, he don't say nothing crazy to me, and I don't say anything crazy to him, right? We just write out how we feel. I tell him, you disappointed me when you did X, Y, Z. Hand it to him, okay? He doesn't have to respond right then, neither do I. Guess what? He writes back, I apologize, mommy, da 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 da, or you hurt me when you did this, this, and this, and vice versa, right? We're creating healthier habits with our children. We are breaking some of these generational curses. That's another topic I need to get into. It is okay to apologize to your children. It is okay to admit that you were not perfect and that you were wrong. Guess what? It is not the end of the world for you to say that as an adult, as a parent, right? But I know many grew up in those homes where, you know, children are seen and not heard. That has a time and a place. I believe that we should not silence the voice of our children. We always ask them, what do you want to be? And then we do everything opposite of that as they're growing up. You know, they want to be a news reporter, and every time they're talking, you tell them to shut up. Well, how are you helping them develop their voice, right? And so there's ways that we as parents can work with our kids to be able to put forth, you know, respectable, responsible adults, right? We got to do our part. So that's all I have for you guys tonight. Thank you again for tuning in. This is your girl, Dr. Stacy Shepherd. And this has been another note for the principal's desk. Stay tuned for next Friday when we'll come back with another topic. Peace.